Scripture reading from the day is from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. In your brown Bibles, it's page 772. Your blue Bibles, 1694. Book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man came from lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, and one called the beautiful gate, so that he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the tent, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money, but Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up and stood on his feet and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought us glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus who you handed over to be rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and you are witnesses to this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus made him heal, has healed him before your very eyes."
Thank you very much, Ed, for reading this morning's scripture. And it's Memorial Day weekend, and it's a time where I think we rightly pause to give thanks to God for, could we have the, are the lights about the same level? This is a time when we rightfully give thanks to God for the beauty of this land, for the resources and opportunities that we have in this country. And I just want to pause for a moment. What would you say is the most beautiful part of the country that you have ever visited? Just someone call a place out. Kansas, all right. Kansas, yay, Kansas. Somebody else? Oregon, all right. What is it? Okay. Longwood Gardens, Pennsylvania. How many would say Marlboro Township? My brother-in-law used to say he's never seen anything like the boulder fields in Marlboro Township. He was always amazed when he'd drive through this area and see the boulder fields. Well, God has blessed us. He's allowed us to live in this land of beauty, in this land where there are so many resources and so many opportunities. And I think on a weekend like this, we do right to give thanks to God. And we do right to give thanks to God, I believe, for the system of government that is ours. Because in spite of its, there's sometimes it doesn't come through. In spite of all of that, There is no other government like it in all the world that is so focused on assuring freedom and fairness for all people. And on this weekend, many folks remember loved ones who have given their lives in service for our country. And I think as a people of God, it's important for us to take a moment to reflect on heroes of faith in our lives. Who is a person of faith that has really influenced your life? Think of a person of faith who lived his or her faith, who lived out such a strong ethic that the way in which they lived, they just contributed strongly to the moral fiber of the whole community. Who is a person of faith in your mind, in your experience? Would you turn to someone near you and share who is a person of faith to you, and you're permitted to say, I need time to think if nothing comes to your mind, okay? But turn to a person and say, who is a person of faith to you? Well, there's not a whole lot of conversation going on out there. So I get to talk again. I'll never forget when I was 10 or 11 years old, I heard about this guy named Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot and his four friends felt called by God to go to Quito, Ecuador. Near Quito was this tribe of people that had never been reached from the outside world. And they felt called by God to go and share the gospel of Christ with these people. And as they made their way in, they would fly over this area and they dropped gifts that would express to these people, we are people of goodwill. And finally, when they felt the time was right, they landed their plane and they went to approach the people. But again, the folks had never connected with folks from outside their tribe. And they were frightened and they were suspicious. And as you know, they met Jim Elliot and his four friends with swords, and all five of them were killed. I'll never forget where I was sitting. I know exactly where I was sitting when one of the leaders of our church stood up and said Jim and his five friends were killed in Quito, Ecuador. I was deeply stirred that night. And then several years later, his biography came out, and I eagerly read his biography. He was a Wheaton College graduate. He was a star athlete. He was a top student. But the passion of his life was expressed in this line. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And I remember how that sentence impacted me when I read it in his biography. And I remember saying to myself as a young man, that's the kind of life that I want to live. About 25 years ago, I heard Peter Dick tell this story. It's a story of a Mennonite man from Amsterdam, Holland. He was a man whose life was just deeply devoted to God. He had come to know Jesus, and he saw the greatness of Jesus, and he saw the greatness of what Jesus has done, and the greatness of who Jesus is as Lord over everything. Jesus is now at the right hand of God, and Jesus, our Lord, is Lord over all. The Bible says that all principalities and powers are subject to Jesus. And when this man from Amsterdam, Holland, began to understand and see who Jesus is, he says, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Jesus will now be the leader of my life. I will take my directions from Jesus. I will honor and respect civic and governmental leaders. But Jesus is the ultimate authority of my life. And this man was known in Amsterdam as a man who had a big heart for people in need. He was a man who was constantly reaching out to share and to serve. But the government officials understood his theology. And they said that his faith, his theology, is dangerous. It undermined the authority of the government. And so he was arrested and tried. and he was condemned to be killed by burning. And according to the story that Peter Dick told, this man had already been tied to the pole, and wood had been piled up around him, and brush had been piled on top of the wood. And they were about to ignite the brush when this man called out. He said, "Wait, stop. I see a man out there without shoes. My shoes are good yet. Why burn my shoes? Take my shoes and give them to that man." And the people who had come to witness the execution were amazed. They said, "What kind of faith is this that gives a person such peace and confidence in the face of a terrible death? What kind of faith is this that even in the face of a terrible death, he is so free, he is so free that he only thinks of serving others with his shoes?" And in the weeks and months that followed, the folks in that community went to the Mennonite people and they said, "Where do you folks meet? We want to learn more about this faith." And C.J. Dick in his Mennonite history book says that in the months and years that followed, one Mennonite pastor named Leonard Bowen baptized 10,000 people. And a great part of the impetus of that interest came from that one man who, in the face of a terrible death, was so free in Christ that he was able to see a brother in need, and he sought to serve him with his shoes. Now, the scripture that Ed read to us this morning is a powerful scripture, and you reflect on that scripture, and you quickly think, oh, yeah, that's a story about healing, the miraculous healing of a crippled man. But I want to suggest to you this morning that this scripture is really about seeing. It's about seeing. It's about seeing with the eyes of Jesus. It's about allowing our lives to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we see as he sees and we care as he cares. Now, we're in this series of messages that we've titled In the Flow of the Spirit. And I just want to take you back to where we've been real quick. And some weeks ago, we looked at this great verse. This is a great verse from the prophet Joel. Just follow as I read this. "Afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Those are powerful words. God's saying the day is coming when I'm going to come near you. He's saying the day is coming when I'm going to reveal myself to you in powerful ways. And you won't just know about me anymore, but you will be immersed in my presence. The day is coming when I will pour out my spirit, God says. And then Jesus, before he ascended, said this to the disciples. He says, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Now, Jesus is reminding the disciples there, and he's reminding us that the work to which Jesus is calling us, we can't do on our own. We need to wait to be clothed with power from on high so that the Holy Spirit will lead us and help us to see, and the Holy Spirit will live and speak through us. "Wait," Jesus said, "stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." And the disciples did what Jesus said. They remained in the city. The Bible says there were about 120 who met in an upper room, and they were constantly waiting and praying. As Jesus said, it says in Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. And I believe they were saying, "Oh, Lord, send this gift that you promised. We're here just as Jesus said. We're here waiting. We're here praying. We're not going to go anywhere until we're clothed with the Holy Spirit from on high. And then the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, again, they were all together, and verse 2 says, suddenly, they heard what sounded like a rushing mighty wind, and they saw what seemed like tongues of fire coming and resting on each one of them. And then it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were drenched with His presence. When God pours His Spirit into a person, his inner being is changed. And when our inner beings are filled with God, we can't help but speak of the greatness and the goodness of God. And that's what these guys did. They were filled with God's Spirit. And they just had to tell people how great and good God is. And you know the story. They went out into the streets and started telling the wonders of God. And there were folks in Jerusalem that day for the Feast of Pentecost from every country and every language group. And here was the interesting thing. These people from all these different places, how is it, they said, that each of us hears the Galileans, the people in the upper room, they were all Galileans. Each of us hears them in his own native language. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. And then Peter had to get up and explain. He said, the Holy Spirit has come. What you see happening is a work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is poured into the life of a person, that person is changed in his inner being. He's filled with God. And so he or she can't help but speak of the goodness of God. And when the Holy Spirit is poured into the life of a person, his inner being is changed. He goes from being a self-centered person to being a selfless person. He goes from being a me-centered person to an other-centered person. And so last week, Pastor Chris spoke to us from Acts 2, verses 42 through 47, where he noted how the Holy Spirit drew those first believers into the community of faith. Acts 2, verse 41 says that everyone who believed and was baptized was added to their number. And again, Acts 2, 42 to 47 is a picture of what that first church looked like. And it's a picture of what I believe God wants his people to look like today in local congregations. Notice what it says in verse 42. This is the key ingredient of a local congregation. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. We do that. We do that. We have many settings in which we're studying the scriptures and to the fellowship. That's an important part of our life together. Encouraging each other, praying for each other, having fun together. Breaking bread, reminding each other of Jesus, who Jesus is, his presence with us now and how he wants to work among us. And they were devoted to prayer. And we're thankful to be a part of a congregation who prays. And after this verse that's up here, it goes on to say how this Spirit-filled community, out of this Spirit-filled community, amazing things were happening. It goes on to say everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And out of the many wonders and signs that were done by the apostles, Luke, the writer of Acts, chose to give us the story of Acts chapter 3. And this story that Ed read for us, this story is kind of like completing the picture of what the church is to be like. We are to be a people who are filled with the Spirit, right? God's desire is that we would be a people who are filled with the Spirit. We are to be a people who are like a refuge for one another. Someone's here this morning, several people probably, maybe more are here this morning, just kind of feeling heavy and hurting. And we understand as we gather in Jesus' name, Jesus is here. His presence is with us. And there are people seated around you who love and care and pray. Some are praying right now. And it's God's will and plan that through your being a part of the service today, you would feel His touch in His life. And you would feel a lift and an inspiration, and you would feel support. So that out of our life together in Christ, we can go out into the world like Peter and John did with eyes wide open. To see as Jesus sees, and with faith from Jesus, to care for those that He wants to touch. Now, in our scripture, Peter and John see this man who has been crippled, and every day his family would bring him and sit him at the gate of the temple, and he was there to ask for donations. And hundreds of people were probably passing him by. But I want you to notice, I told you earlier that this passage is about seeing. It's about seeing. And I want you to notice verses 3 and 4. Do you have your Bibles there? Verses 3 and 4 in chapter 3. Notice how many times seeing is referred to. It says there in verse 3 that when the beggar saw Peter and John, when he saw him, he asked them for money, and Peter looked straight at him, and John did too. John looked at him. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. The emphasis I see here is on looking. It's on seeing. Listen, Peter and John had passed by this man hundreds of times before. They probably noticed him before, but they were never moved to reach out to touch him or to minister to him. But this time, as they passed the beggar, this time they were filled with the Spirit. This time they see him. They hear the Holy Spirit giving them faith to heal. Notice verse 16. Verse 16 is a key verse here. You notice, have you ever noticed all the important 316s in the Bible? We ought to do a whole sermon series on all the 316s in the Bible. Here's another good one. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, we've already noticed that this healing happened because the Holy Spirit helped Peter and John to see. Now, this verse tells us two more important things that contributed to the healing. First, this healing happened, listen to this, this healing happened, according to verse 16, through faith that was given to the disciples by Jesus. It's like God is there on the throne, and God sees this crippled man, and God says to Jesus, "Jesus, we're going to heal that guy today." And Jesus sends the Holy Spirit and nudges Peter and John and gives them faith to believe that God's going to heal that person today. So the Holy Spirit helped them to see the one who needed ministry, and Jesus gave them faith to believe that God wanted to heal this man. And the second thing we notice, Holy Spirit gave them eyes to see, Jesus gave them faith to believe. And the third thing we see, that this healing happened in His name, in Jesus' name. Now, this doesn't mean that we could just go around repeating His name and like magical stuff happens. But in His name represents the reality of His presence. Jesus said, "Hey, if you remain in me, I'll remain in you. I'll be there. You gather in my name, I'll be there. You go and make disciples, I'll be there." in his name refers to the reality of his presence. And so the Holy Spirit helped them to see. Jesus gave them faith to believe. And they spoke with the confidence that Jesus was present to heal this man. So again, these three things I think are helpful for us. The Holy Spirit gives us eyes to see. He wants to give us eyes to see in a special way this week. And Jesus gives us faith to believe that his presence is going to make a difference in the lives that we are called to touch this week. I heard about a man about my age who was really concerned about his dermatologist. As far as he could tell, his dermatologist was just living a really dark life. And he woke up on a Friday morning in an appointment that day. And he just was heavy on his heart for his dermatologist. And he said, "Lord, just give me an unmistakable opportunity to speak to this man, to my doctor about Jesus." And on the way to the appointment, he was still praying. And it came into his mind. It just came to his mind. The Spirit said to him, "Ask him about his favorite movie." That's an interesting way to start a conversation. And so he got in the doctor's office, and the doctor was checking him out, and they were sitting back sort of having normal conversation. And the guy says, "Hey, what's your favorite movie?" And the doctor said what it was. And the doctor came right back and said to the guy, "What's your favorite movie?" He said, "Ben-Hur. Let me tell you why." And he went on and telling him about the wonder of who Jesus is. And he did so well in his sharing that the doctor said, "Wow. I got to make it a point to watch Ben-Hur this week." What would it look like? What would it look like if each one of us would pray as that guy did before he went to the dermatologist's office? "Lord, give me an unmistakable opportunity to bear witness to Jesus today." What would it look like if each of us would pray that every day? Why don't we do that more? Why are there not more stories like Peter and John, filled with the Spirit, going out into the world with eyes wide open? Why doesn't that happen more? Some of you know the writer Dallas Willard. How many of you know about Dallas Willard? Okay, a few of you do. He's a great writer, writes a lot about spirituality and how to develop our spiritual lives. He was also a professor at the University of Southern California for over 30 years. He was a professor of philosophy. And he died several months ago. I don't know if you knew that, Jen. He died several months ago. But before he died, a group of students said to him, "What's the difference between students today and the students that you had when you started teaching 30 years ago?" He said, "Oh, that's easy. You guys are all distracted. You guys are all stressed out. You're anxious all the time. You've got all kinds of screens and stuff vying for your attention. You've got cell phones ringing and text messages coming, and you've got stuff streaming into your life all the time. So that you miss the many places, you miss seeing the many places where the kingdom of God wants to break through." And I heard him say that, and I said, "Wow, he's right." And on Friday night, I talked to one of my friends, and she said to me, "I just disconnected cable. It's been such a distraction in my life." You know what I blame for all of our for some of our distractions? I blame restaurants with TVs. I mean, folks don't have conversations anymore. In our case, when we go to a restaurant, I mean, the hostess comes to the door and she leads us to our table, and Bev is usually going first, and so Bev will sit at the place at the table where she can see the TV, and I sit with my back to it so that she can watch the game and I can't. No, that's not right. She sits there so that I have to have my back to the TV so that we'll have conversation and I won't watch a game. And so that we'll be aware of people around us, and we might even have a kind conversation with the person who is serving us. Friends, with all the distractions, think about them in your lives, with all the distractions that we have, it's no wonder that we don't sense where God's wanting to break in. We don't sense where God's wanting to work. Years ago, Pope Innocent II had a meeting with St. Francis. And he said to Francis, I want to show you where I serve. And he took Francis to this great, ornate cathedral. It was just known for its grandeur. And Pope Innocent said to St. Francis, he said, no longer can the church say, silver and gold have we none. To which St. Francis promptly said, and neither is the church able to say any longer, rise and walk. But Peter and John weren't distracted. They were focused. They were focused on God and what God was wanting to do. And friends, they are our example this morning. Their example is God's message for us. Like the man in the doctor's office, I believe God wants each one of us to pray every day, Lord, give me an unmistakable opportunity to bear witness to Jesus, to point someone to Jesus, to share the love of Jesus. And when you pray that, you're wanting the generosity that God has given to you to flow out to others. When you pray that, you're wanting what God has done for you to be experienced by others. When you pray that, friends, you find yourself being expectant. You find yourself just looking for things to happen because you know that that's a prayer that God loves to answer. Give me an opportunity to bear witness to Jesus. I mean, God loves to answer that prayer. And so when you show up at your job or your class or in your neighborhood, you're excited. You're expecting God to work. You're looking for the opportunity. And when it happens, you step in and you say, you want to know what my favorite movie is? Ben-Hur. Let me tell you why. You want to know how God has worked in my life? Let me share that with you. Or you see someone struggling with a difficult issue and you say, you know, I understand what you're dealing with. I dealt with that in my life. Let me share with you how God helped me. The question God is asking us this morning, friends, here it is, listen. The question God is asking us this morning is, will you commit yourself this morning to look for the one this week? Peter and John had preached to thousands, and now they were on the way to the temple, and there was one that God wanted them to touch. And God's saying this morning, will you commit yourself this week to look for the one? Will you pray each day, Lord, give me an unmistakable opportunity to point someone to Jesus, to share the love of Jesus? And will you go into your life each day with eyes wide open, looking for the one, looking for the way in which God is just wanting to break through and waiting for us to participate with him there? Can you imagine the stories that we might have to share next Sunday if we all follow through in this way? Let's pray. Lord, we're just so grateful again to be together in your presence. And together in these moments, Lord, we lift our hearts to you. And we say again this morning, Lord, come and fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit as we stand at the beginning of a new week, a holiday tomorrow, and then a new work and school week on Tuesday. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, that we may be your witnesses. And help us each day, Lord, to remember to pray. Lord, just give us an unmistakable opportunity to bear witness to Jesus, to share his love. And Lord, deliver us from distractions. Help each of us to take the steps we need to take to remove the distractions from our lives. And then, Lord, help us to live with eyes wide open to see where you are working, that we may join with you there. And some folks this week will come to know Jesus, and others will grow in Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you will be glorified in our lives, in this church. We pray that you would be glorified in this region. In Jesus' name, amen.